Most of us understand that it's important to read the Bible and to memorize favorite verses. But comprehension without application is meaningless. Recently on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll said it's like reading emails from your boss. When he's away from the office and sends you clear instructions, well, he'd be impressed if you memorized and quoted his emails word for word. But the primary outcome he's looking for is to follow his plan. Well, in our current series called Searching the Scriptures, Chuck explains how to integrate the timeless truth of the Bible into every aspect of our lives.
If you truly evaluate your life based on what you are applying from the Scriptures, you will not be the same from one year to the next. You will change. You will become more like Christ, because that is the purpose of His giving us His Word, that we might learn His truth and live out the truth in a way that makes a difference in decisions we make, priorities we choose, friends we run with, activities we're involved in. God's Word doesn't miss a trick. And as you read through it, as we're going to do in Psalm 139 now, we will see that it is all about the Lord and His work in our lives. Now, back to Psalm 139. We come now to an occasion when we're going to look at what the Scriptures say and discover the application. Write down verses 1 to 6. Verses 1 to 6, God knows me. This is called the doctrine of omniscience. He knows everything. So not surprisingly, He knows me. You've examined my heart, and You know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what the doctrine of omniscience means? He knows everything about everyone and everything. You know what I'm going to say before I ever say it. Lord, You go before me and follow me. You place Your hand of blessing on my head. In fact, this is so great, verse 6, it boggles my mind. Such knowledge is too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Verses 1 to 6, God knows me. Verses 7 to 12, God is with me. These are stanzas of this four-stanza hymn. Psalm 139 is in sections, six verses each. 1 to 6, God knows me. 7 to 12, look closely, God is with me. I can never escape from Your Spirit. I can never get away from Your presence. If I go to heaven, You. The Hebrew simply uses the pronoun. We add, you are there to finish the sentence. But if I go to heaven, You. If I go down to the grave, You. Now look at the next phrase. It's very interesting. If I ride on the wings of the dawn or the morning. I love that phrase. I love the way that reads. So beautiful, beautiful poetry. Even there, Your hand will guide me. Your strength will support. What does that mean? It's all His. No matter where I go, no matter where I find myself, the most remote island of the sea where a person hopes to go when he's committed a crime so they can't catch up with her or with him. God's right there. You dragged a guilty conscience when you left, you'll find a guilty conscience when you arrive. That's why travel will never bring you peace if you're at odds with the living God. I can never escape from Your Spirit. I can never get away from Your presence. There is no secret with the living God. Now, 13 to 18, God made us. Put that down. It's called omnipotence, omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He's all-knowing, verses 1 to 6. He's everywhere at once, 7 to 12. And look at it. He made us. For you who question when life begins It's only because you haven't really believed verses 13 to 18 of Psalm 139. You judge for yourself. Since you don't know the truth and the Bible is truth, let's let truth speak. Look at verse 13. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. We're into the womb now, where no camera can go in the days of David. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. Keep reading. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb, you were making me. You saw me before I was born. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, you are still with me. How powerful is our God. He made you just like he wanted you to be. He gave you that nose. He gave you those eyes. He gave you that face. He gave you your personality. He gave you that temperament. He gave you your stature, the length of your bones. That's why you can be 6 feet, 7 inches tall in middle school. I remember seeing pictures of, he was called then Lew Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, when he was in just out of elementary school. All the kids are right here. There's Abdul-Jabbar. And then here's all the rest of the kids. He made him exactly like that. It wasn't a freak of nature. It wasn't a biological surprise. God oversaw it all. You see, when you take the scriptures seriously, suddenly, you and God are linked. Before you were ever born, he was watching over you, caring for you, protecting you, guarding you. I don't care if you're tall or short. I don't care what your face looks like. You need to care a little less about it. I mean, you need to work on it best you can. But he gave you who you are. That's how we know who you are. That's your identity. Don't fuss around with it and worry about it and gripe about it. He made you. He started in the womb. He cares about you. Now, his word gets good. Look at verse 23. Got it? Drop down. Suddenly it isn't you and you're, it's me. Search me. This is application. The psalmist has gone all of this great theology, the omniscience, the omnipresence, the omnipotence of our great God. And now he says, oh, Lord, oh, I need help. So search me. And before I go any further, let me give you some things to write down because you need help in this area. This will really help you when you begin to apply. I'm going to give you some words and I'm going to fill in the blank for you. First, think. Think about what is going on in your life when you begin to apply the scriptures. Think about what is going on in your life. You may be worried. Your husband or wife may have recently walked out on you. You may have lost your job. You may be struggling with deep insecurities or depression. You may find it difficult to get along with the individual that you're working closely with or married to, and on I could go. That stuff is going on inside your life. Think about it. When you begin to think about it, let me add some other things to think about. Are there secrets you're hiding? Is there some wrong or wrongs that you are embracing? face up to it. He knows it all, remember? He knows everything about you. Are there habits you're forming that are hurting you? Are there attitudes you're cultivating that need to be overhauled? Are there motives that you're denying? Look, ask yourself. I do it every time I prepare a message. Before I ever think about those others who are going to hear the message, I think, oh, Lord, you know, I've got to tell you, these things are happening in my life, and I need help here. Or maybe I have to say, I don't know what it is. I got these squigglies down inside, and I'm uneasy, and I ask you to search me. Investigate so that it doesn't mean so you will see, because he sees everything. Show me what you see about me. Help me know why there is this anxiety. Why can't I sleep? Why do I wake up burdened? Why am I not able to get along with so-and-so? What are the anchors I'm dragging? Search me. Ask, think about what's going on in your life. Now here's the second. Acknowledge. Acknowledge any intense trouble spot. Acknowledge any intense trouble spot. Hebrews 12, verse 2 calls this a besetting sin. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin which so easily trips us up. These are sins that easily and frequently trip us up. As you're having the Lord search you and to know your thoughts and to test you and to know your anxious heart, be ready to acknowledge the truth of it. Maybe you need a little help. Pride, greed, selfishness, impatience, procrastination, sloth, envy or jealousy, an unforgiving spirit, lust, lying, a spirit of entitlement, where in arrogance you have caught yourself thinking, I've got this coming. They owe it to me. What a sinful thought. How selfish we can be. It's the sin of this generation. Because my parents had it, I've got every right to it also. No, you don't. No, you don't. God will have to show you how you must be broken before he can provide for you the things that you long to have that will please him. Tozer put it best, doubtful God can bless anyone greatly till he's hurt him deeply. That's why it sometimes takes a serious surgery to get the attention of some, or a jail sentence, or a terrible auto accident. Suddenly we're made aware of our fallibility. Acknowledge any intense trouble spot. Don't hide it. Don't act like it's not there. You need to face it. Search me, God. Test me. Reveal to me. Point out whatever is a way of pain within me, because that pain brings pain to others, and I want to stop it. Here's the third. Ask. Ask specific questions as you probe within. The key word is specific. Ask specific questions. Here are some examples. Is there a life I need to follow that I've just studied about? Is there a promise I need to claim? Is there a prayer I need to offer? Is there a sin I need to confess? Is there a verse I should memorize? As an application of it, is there a command I need to obey? Is there a habit I need to break? An addiction that's gotten hold of me and drags me under? Is there a challenge I need to face and not run from it? Is there a fear I need to acknowledge? Is there a person I need to forgive? Or the flip side, is there someone I need to ask forgiveness? Quote Hendricks again, guard against the slimy ooze of indefiniteness. A prayer that says, Lord, show me what I need to know, accomplishes nothing. Ask specifically. And by the way, when you're asking for guidance, take away from your vocabulary, "Oh Lord, lead, guide, and direct us." Choose one, because they're all the same. And you're stuttering. So either lead me, or guide me, or direct me. Get rid of the cliches. When you began to pray specifically, it's amazing what you discover. And be honest, by the way. I remember the words of the president of the Navigators. He was ministering on the campus of the Air Force Academy. And the top cadet in the academy was one of the choice Christians on the campus. And they were meeting as a small group, and this young man was with the president who was leading the group together. And he looked at this student body president, and he said to this cadet, tell the guys here today, when you have your time with the Lord, when do you have your quiet time? The cadet blushed, looked down, and then looked in the face of the president of the NAVS and his classmates, and he said, "Sir, I don't have a quiet time. I've been faking it for years. I don't meet with the Lord." Would you be gutsy enough to say that in front of your peers? Would you be honest enough to say, "You know, I'm a hellion to live with. I've got a temper that if folks only knew." It's that kind of honesty the Lord loves. Is this conflict my own fault? Acknowledge it. Ask for help with it. Maybe you take the credit that belongs to someone else. You need to stop doing that. When you apply the scriptures, you will. You'll realize that life isn't all about you. Here's the fourth. Pursue. Pursue paths that can lead you to wholeness and health. Spiritual health. Where do I get that? End of the poem, end of the psalm. "Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." I don't want to go over this too quickly. There's something here I don't want you to miss. See that part that says, "Point out anything in me that offends you"? Your Bible may read "any wicked way." I was intrigued by that. It's a wicked way. The New American Standard says, "See if there is any hurtful way in me." The NET Bible says, "See if there is any idolatrous tendency in me." Because the Hebrew word that is translated offense or hurt is akin to the word for an idol. Avats is the root verb. And the phrase is derek otsev, which means any way that leads to pain or torture. When you have an unforgiving spirit, you're turned over to torturers, and you are asking the Lord to show you the path that has led to that torturing. That's why you don't have peace. And as you apply, you come to terms with it. You find a path that gets you out of that rut. I love it that the psalmist does it at the end. What do I suggest? One, consider possible ways of changing the direction of your life when you apply the truth. What do I need to do first? Who should I go to? Which person? Is this the right time for me to do that? So consider possible ways of changing direction. Second, become accountable to someone else. You cannot live a fully mature Christian life in isolation. We're meant to work alongside others and to grow and mature with others in community. Tell someone else that you trust, someone in your accountability team, and I hope you have at least one, someone with whom you regularly meet. I want you to help me as I'm working on this in my life and help point it out. Help me get to a place of wholeness and health. And third, I'd suggest even keeping a journal. Some of you do that, and I commend you. If you've not started, this is a wonderful way to apply the truth of the scriptures. That is a written record of the things the Lord is doing in your life. It's different from a diary. A diary just records what you've been doing. A journal is what the Lord is doing and showing you, revealing to you. Now, when we want to follow through on all of this, two simple things. Number one, make sure that you have put Christ in the center of your life. That's first. Earlier, I gave you the gospel. Make sure you've acted upon it. Make sure that the one who died on that cross is your Savior. You can acknowledge, even in writing in your journal, "This day I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my own Savior." You follow through by making certain that you have Christ in the center, enthroned on your life. Second and finally, start your own study of the Scriptures. So far, you've been studying with me in this series. It's your move. I'd love to hear from a number of you who say to me, "Chuck, let me tell you what I'm starting to study." You may choose the Gospel of John. You may choose the third chapter of John. You may choose a few Proverbs every day. You may choose to start in Genesis or Matthew or one of the letters of Paul. Take your time. There's no hurry. Observe, interpret, correlate, and apply. And you will not remain the same person. Let me tell you, the greatest heartbreak any pastor has to deal with, and that is to minister to the same people in a congregation week after week, month after month, year after year, and observe in a number of them no change. You're still walking in the flesh. You're still seeking your own way. You're still selfish. That tells me you've not applied the truth of God's word. Start there. Bow with me, please. We're convicted, our Father, as we hear these things said. We need you to guide us in the way we should go. We need you to point out anything in us that offends you, any way of pain, any path of offense. And then we need you to take us from there onto new paths that lead to wholeness and health. May we not stop on this journey from earth to heaven, and may our life be to you a point of praise, a person of submission and commitment to your Son Christ. In his name we pray. Everyone said, amen.
As a result of hearing Chuck Swindoll's message today, perhaps you have a new resolve to study the Bible on your own. Well, you'll be glad to know he's written a book on this topic. It's called Searching the Scriptures, and you can purchase a copy by going to insight.org. You're listening to Insight for Living, and just a few weeks ago, on August 22nd to be precise, we had occasion to sit down with Chuck Swindoll for a one-on-one conversation. He took a few moments to express his passion for the ministry of Insight for Living and to explain what this program, now in its 41st year, is all about.
We are delivering the fragrance of grace through Jesus Christ to the world. We're delivering the fragrance of grace. Isn't that a great way to picture it in your mind? Grace has an aroma. It has an appeal to it, like a lovely bowl of fresh roses. You put them in a room, the room catches the fragrance of those blooms. We're delivering this fragrance of grace. If there is one theme I hope that is heard regularly in our broadcast ministry, it is grace. Grace. Mm-hmm. Not just God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves and could never repay him for, but what we do for others. Random acts of grace, where we reach out to those that don't expect our reach, where we put an arm around a shoulder to those who don't expect to be encouraged by us. We love doing that. And I mean love doing it. It's delivering the fragrance of grace around the world through Jesus Christ. And because it says it so well, we want that phrase to become one of those catchphrases in our Insight for Living outreach. I think the fragrance of grace, when it washes over you, prompts generosity. When you realize you've gotten something for nothing, which really was not for nothing, it just took the life of Christ that was paid on our behalf so that the payment was made in full that I might have his life delivered to me to be lived out, then it does something to you. And you realize you're not your own. You realize what God has granted you is to be shared.
And if you received Chuck's recent letter, you know he's inviting you to become a monthly companion. That's the name we've given our loyal friends who give a donation every month. To become a monthly companion right now, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. To say thank you to our first-time monthly companions, we'd like to send you a brand new book Chuck's written. It's called What If God Has Other Plans? Each of the 11 chapters in this book addresses a specific problem, such as pain, loss, and loneliness. Again, when you become a monthly companion, we'd be happy to send you the book What If God Has Other Plans? If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. I'm Dave Spiker. Join us Tuesday when Chuck Swindoll continues his series called Searching the Scriptures, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Adding the Spices, Applying the Text, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2016 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.